Morning's message. Heavenly Father, we just, Lord, we pray for transformation in our hearts to take place this morning over this word. Heavenly Father, you've given me this word through your Holy Spirit, and I just pray right now for every heart in this room that they will be attentive to what you would say about relationships, for what you would have us do about relationships. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Well, this is the third part of the series. There's a five-part series and of God's Word in My World. And if you're visiting here today, you can get the other two on the internet on www.hillside.org.au. And we're talking about how relevant the Bible is. And in front of me here, there's many different kinds of Bibles. So if you're reading a Bible at the moment that you read for about 2 minutes and you go, oh, it's just too tired, and all of these and those and those, and you can't get into it, there are many other Bibles that would suit your reading style. Okay, so I encourage you, if you are one of those people that you were given a Bible when you first became a Christian, if you haven't got a Bible, come and see me after the service. I'd love to give you a Bible. Every person, doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, you should have a Bible. Amen? Yeah. Amen, because there's a lot of good stuff in the Word of God. Now, there's a lot of different Bibles to have. So if you're new to Christianity and you've been given a Bible that it's hard to read, there are a lot of great Bibles that are easier to read, okay? So if you want to know, ask any questions, come and see me after this today's message, and that would be great. My iPad just turned off, so... Okay. Now, in the little black book, the Hillside little black book that I call it, you can get one outside there. Obviously it tells all about our vision and our mission. And our mission in love, we bring hope to the world through faith in Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name. And there's three pillars. There's faith, hope, and love. And on the top pillar of love, we have relationships, and which is built on building godly relationships, which comes from John 13 verses 34, and it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another." Now I'm going to finish this sentence, or this little two verses, at the end of this message. Okay, first of all, I just want to tell you a little story, a little truth. You know I love stories, telling stories, and I read a lot of stuff, and I search the net for stories. I love telling them. And I want to tell you the story, a true story, this one. And it was on June 1st, 2005. Okay, Percy Arrowsmith, 105 years old, and his 100... a couple of more years, Fred, you'll be able to... 105 years old, and 100-year-old wife, Florence, celebrated their 80th wedding anniversary. Percy died 2 weeks later. They met at their church in Hereford, England. He sang in the choir, and she was a Sunday school teacher. I'll just stop the story there. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, to have a long life, a good life, is to get involved in the local church. Amen? So if you want to live to 100, 105... get involved in the church. Now, according to the Guinness World Record authorities, the couple held the record for the longest marriage as well as the oldest aggregate age of a married couple. But today, however, the record is currently at 18 married. This couple was married 89 years and 84 days today, as of today. And that's held by a couple in England, in Bradford. Anyone know where Bradford is in England? One, two. Okay, the Arrowsmiths claim that their key to a long marriage was not to go to sleep on an argument. They always kissed each other and held each other's hands each night before going to bed. Isn't that an easy thing to do?
You lies.
Yeah. Now, contrast that to this other story that I'm going to tell you about. A man in Berlin, Germany, took the unusual approach of trying to bring peace to his marriage. It was reported that the man was using an old air raid siren to stun his wife into submission. He said, "My wife never lets me get a word in edgeways," the man identified as Vladimir R. told police. "So I crank up the siren and let it rip for a few minutes. It works every time. Afterwards, it's real quiet again." Well, the 73-year-old man's 220-volt rooftop siren was confiscated by police after neighbours filed complaints. As for his wife of 32 years, she said, "My husband's a stubborn mule, so I have to get loud." Why is it that some relationships can run smoothly, even in difficult times, while others seem to be in conflict mode all the times in all seasons? And I'm not just talking about marital relationships, but relationships with our kids, with our friends, with our work colleagues, with our relatives, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. For some reason, many of us just don't seem to be able to get along with others. And thankfully, the Bible tells us, has some instructions that will help us have good relationships with just about anybody and at all times. So far in the series, we've focused on the trustworthiness of the Bible, as well as learned how Jesus used the Bible in his own ministry. And for the next few weeks, we're going to see what the Bible has to say about practical issues that we deal with on a regular basis. So this week, we're going to see how the Bible can help us in our relationships. And I've taken the word relate, R-E-L-A-T-E, and made it an acrostic to help us remember what the Bible has to say about this matter. And some of you grabbed an outline, use the outline. Let's start with the letter R. First of all, no matter who we're dealing with, okay? No matter who we're dealing with, we need to, first of all, respect. Okay, that's the word, respect them for who they are. Now, I'm sure you've seen it on the TV or heard it on the radio or read it in the newspaper about elderly people that have been attacked and abused. The number of these incidences are on the rise in our society. There is no respect anymore for the elderly. In our workplaces, bosses are getting abused or talked back to. There is no respect in the workplace. Our Prime Minister is being abused and treated badly by his own side, just like the last party did. There is no respect in leadership anymore. The police are going to parties to try and protect the community. What happens to them? They get things thrown at them by teenagers. There is no respect for the police in our society anymore. There is no respect for life. Globally, we're seeing no respect given to humans from humans. The truth of the matter is that we've lost the value of respecting others in our culture. We've forgotten how to respect the elderly, respect our spouses, respect our employers, and just about everybody else. Yet the Bible tells this. It goes, show respect for what? For everyone. Show respect for everyone. Love your Christian brothers and sisters. Fear God. Show respect for the King. Have you ever paid close attention to Jesus' ministry and noticed how respectful that he was, especially to people that others that didn't respect? He went out of his way to show love, to respect to the prostitutes, to the tax collectors, to the lepers, and to the poor and all the others that the society had rejected. And by showing them his respect, he was able to very quickly gain their respect in return and start down the road to building healthy relationships. Now, if you're disrespectful to your spouse, if you're disrespectful to your children, if you're disrespectful to your parents or to your siblings or to your work colleagues or your neighbours or your brothers and sisters in Christ, you are simply asking for a troubled relationship. But the Bible teaches us that if we begin treating others the way we would like to be treated, we will be fulfilling God's word. In Matthew 7, verse 12, it says, "Do for others what you would like them to do for you." This is a summary of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. If we begin here, we will be well on our way to building healthy relationships, respecting one another. E, out of relate. Engage their mind and heart. In many ways, this goes along to showing respect, but it's showing respect in a way to let people know that you care about them and what they think. It is speaking to them in such a way that they know that you value them. Now, I'm not talking about sucking up to someone. I'm talking about showing a real interest in them. For instance, once Jesus met a Samaritan woman at the well, and the following dialogue ensued. In John chapter 4, it says, "A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Please give me a drink.' The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, 'You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?' And Jesus replied, 'If you only knew the gift God has for you and who I am, you would ask me and I would give you living water.'" Now, this here becomes an opening whereby Jesus is able not only to teach her the love that God has for her, but also demonstrates to her that he is interested in her as an individual person. We'll take the account when the children were brought to Jesus. Some children were brought to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. The disciples told them not to bother him, but Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And he put out his hands on their heads and he blessed them before he left. Now, what effect did Jesus have, and words and actions have, on those children as well as those parents? I'm sure that it was a demonstration of the warmth and comfort that they would receive through a relationship with Jesus. If we want to have solid relationships with our spouses, if we want to have solid relationships with our children, if we want to have solid relationships with our neighbours, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as the unchurched people, we need to let them know that we are interested in them as individuals and not take them for granted. We want everyone to know that we care about them and that we do that by engaging their minds and their hearts. They need to know that we care about how they feel, what they think about any given subject, and how we can help them reach their goals in life. It is looking out for another person's interest in this manner that will help you grow solid relationships that will never, ever go away. Just this week, I was having a chat to the federal member here, Ken Wyatt. And he is passionate about going and door knocking. And he says, "As a politician, they expect me to talk. But," he says, "I can't, because there's a lot of needy, suffering people out there." He knocks on the door and he lets them talk. He says, I've got to engage their heart and mind. And by doing that, I just listen to them. And that's what we're to do as Christians. If we want to show the love to our community or even to our spouse or children or neighbours or work colleagues. L, out from relate, is love them unconditionally. Now, this is probably one of the most difficult things that we are called to do. Loving unconditionally. To love unconditionally means that my love for a person will remain no matter what they do or what they say or whether they agree with me or not. How easy is that? That's what we've been called to do. To love unconditionally does not mean to have you have to approve of everything a person does or says, just that my love for them will not waver. For instance, you might have a child that goes and does something that you do not approve of. You might have to discipline them for what they have done, but it does not affect the level of love that you have for them. The perfect example of this is the love that God has for us, even though many times we have turned against Him and openly sinned. I mean, can you think of anything that you have done or said in your life that has been displeasing to God? Do I need to give you time to think about it? I can certainly think of many things that you've done, no, that I've done. Yet God still offered His Son as a love gift to us. Not because we had earned it, and not because we were living lives that He approved of, but simply because of His love for us without condition. Romans 5:8 says, God showed His great love for us by sending Jesus Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. I want you to notice that last phrase, while we were still sinners. God didn't wait for you to get it all together. He didn't lay down any requirements or whatsoever before He had offered you His love. His love was and is given to those who hate Him, those who mock Him, those who teach others to turn away from Him. God's love is offered without condition. Wow. Now, when we consider the great example that God has shown us out of unconditional love, shouldn't we show that same type of love towards others? It is easy to love other people when they love us back, yeah? But it's quite another thing to love those who are unlovable. In Luke 6:32 it says, "Do you think you deserve credit merely for loving those who love you? Even the sinners do that." What God is asking us to do is to love that wayward child. To love that unfaithful spouse. To love that business partner who has cheated on us. Wow. And that is a really hard thing to do. Now, is any of this easy? Of course not. But it is what is necessary if we're going to build godly relationships. Romans 13:8 says, "Pay all your debts except the debt of love for others." You can never finish paying that. Let me say that again. Pay all your debts except the debt of love for others. You can never finish paying that. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill all the requirements of God's law. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill all the requirements of God's law. A, approach God on their behalf. Approach God on their behalf. Reading a magazine, and it's Christian Parenting Today. There's another story of Alyssa Morgan told the story about her daughter. And I want you to listen to this story. One night, my 11-year-old daughter, Eva, noticed I was distracted as I tucked her into bed. I told her about a friend's teenage daughter whose hair was mysteriously falling out, and I encouraged Eva to pray for Amy, her simple words, "Jesus, please hold Amy's hair on her head," really touched me. As the doctors experimented with different treatments, Amy continued to lose all her hair. Eva continued to pray the same prayer, "Jesus, please hold Amy's hair on her head." After 6 weeks, the doctors determined Amy had an extremely rare disorder where her hair loss was unpredictable and can be complete and permanent. They had no answers. When I told Eva, she took my hand and closed her eyes. This time her prayer was different. She said, "Dear Jesus, if you won't hold Amy's hair on her head, would you please hold Amy?" Tearfully, I realized how sometimes God doesn't move mountains, He moves us. Tearfully, I realized how sometimes God does not move mountains, He moves us. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, "I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. As you make your requests, plead for God's mercy upon them and give thanks." You know, there is nothing that makes a person feel better than knowing that you are praying for them on their behalf. The purpose in doing it isn't to build relationships, but that has a side benefit. We pray for others because we care about them, and when we show them that we care, the relationship begins to solidify. I cannot tell you of one day that I have not prayed for every member of my immediate family, as well as many of you. Whether it's for healing, whether it's for safety, whether it's for spiritual issues, I feel a need to lift you before God in prayer, and I hope that you will do the same for me and my family. It is in connecting with God for others that we build a bond beyond what is seen and heard, a bond that resides in the heavenly realms. This is part of relationships that is so, so, so important. I mean, I can look out across this room right now and I see a lot of faces and a lot of situations where you personally have asked me to pray for you, and we have seen great outcome. There's been some times when the outcome hasn't been what we expected, but it's still been a great outcome, nonetheless. Take whatever time is necessary. Earlier we looked at Jesus' response to the children who were brought to him. The disciples said, "Don't bother him," but Jesus said, "Come." Similar events are repeated many times over and over in the life of Jesus. He was willing to spend the time necessary to minister to others. And I think we really need to stop and think about this one. Are we giving enough time to our family? Are we giving enough time to our friends and to our fellow church members to build healthy relationships with them? I know of married couples that complain because they've grown apart. They say that they don't know each other anymore and that they spend only an hour a week together. This morning I was putting that paragraph in because just this week there was a situation in our household, and I haven't shared this with you that I was going to say. Is it okay if I share this? You don't know what I'm going to say, do you? You know what I'm going to say. Sally has an iPad. I have an iPad. One night this week, we've been doing a lot of work together, organising out a holiday, but there was a time where we probably went through about an hour and a half not talking to one another, and we were on Facebook. A whole hour and a half went by. There was silence in the house. Oh, you weren't on Facebook? Not the whole time? Were you? I wasn't on Facebook either for an hour and a half. What were you doing?
Yeah,
I've lost where I am. It's so easy to lose time, isn't it? So easy to lose time. Lunch is going to be interesting. Anyone want to come around to our place for lunch today? And dinner? So the same could be said concerning the time that we spend with our children. And we could also say that about our Lord and Saviour. I mean, I spent an hour and a half, well, half an hour or something, on my iPad where I could have been reading the Word, I could have been praying, I could have been doing something else. But you know what? It wasn't that I gave an hour and a half to like Facebook. It's just that it just went... I remember getting off going, wow, is that the time? When someone is important to us, we are willing to spend whatever time necessary it is to build a relationship with them. When we're not willing to spend the time necessary, they recognise that fact and they will also walk away realising that they are not a priority in your life. How much time is necessary? Well, it depends on the situation. But there is no doubt for most of us that the whole lot of time is needed than we're presently devoting to the most important people in our lives. Of course, it doesn't have to stay that way. The cure for this is simple. But you and I have to make the decision to change. We have to make the decision to be transformed and then follow through with it, being committed to transformation in Jesus' name. E. Last one. Encourage them to relate to others. Now, this is perhaps the most important thing that... Oh, no. Done something else that you don't know, honey, but anyway, it'll come up in a minute. This is perhaps the most important thing that we can do. We need to take what we have learned about relationships and teach it to others. Hence what I'm doing today. Okay? I'm communicating to you. I may not be to my wife, but I'm communicating to you. All right? The Bible has given us a resource that can help us in multifaceted ways. That's what I love about the Bible. And one of those ways is taking what we have learned and passing it down to the next generation. In Deuteronomy 6, 5, 9 says, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Now, my next slide, I took this photo this morning, is a very, very personal slide of our inside our house. It's actually inside our toilet door. In our house, and some of you have seen this. Can I have it, please? Now, I've got to say, this is what my wife does. She sticks these all over. There's a whole door full of these little passages. And I remember ever since I've known you, you've done it. I think your mum did it. When Sally and I got married, you know, we got our house, and I had a lot of non-Christian mates. And Sally was, this is great. Stick all these all over the place. And I was going, they're going to think we're a religious nutter. Now my non-Christian friends come in to my house. They just don't say, "Hi, Kira, I'm going to your toilet." But when they go to the toilet, they come out and they say, "I love what's on the back of your door." Some of them don't realise it's biblical. Some of them, it's biblical stuff. But for some of them, it's like I've even had a wife come out of the toilet, go to their husband while they're sitting down and say, "You should read the back of their toilet." Because even children are known by the way they act, whether their conduct is pure and right. Automatically, Sally and I know that there's going to be an hour of marriage counselling. But do this. Put the Word of God up in little things all around your doorposts and all over the stuff. Don't worry what other people will think. You know what other people will think? They'll read it and they'll go, wow, that's really good. I'll take that home with me. Not realizing it's the Word of God. I'll use that in my life. What else is there? If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Wow. I want a bit of that. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and sound mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Hey? Where else are you going to get that sitting on the toilet? Sorry, hon. But don't be embarrassed of the Word of God. Because the Word of God is filled with so much good, good stuff. Good stuff. You know what? No one can come against it. No one can come against it. They think they try to, but they can't come against the Word because the Word is truth. No one can come against truth. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out. And who doesn't need straightening out? And it teaches us to do what is right. Check this out. It is God's way of preparing us in what? In every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. Wow. Notice the phrase, it is God's way of preparing us in every way. Not some ways, but every way. The Bible is not just here to teach us doctrine. The Bible is not just here to teach us theology. The Bible is not just here to teach us church history and the like. It is here to prepare us, you and me, for every aspect of life. And the one of those ways is how to relate to each other. We need to teach what it has to say in this regard to other people. And how do we do that? One way is simply to begin living this way ourselves and then allowing our influence to spread. Another way is actually to encourage those who are living out godly relationships and letting them know that you appreciate all that they are doing to build all types of relationships that are honored by God. Just the other night, last month, we were at a prayer meeting, a corporate prayer meeting here. One of the gentlemen of the church got up and said, listen, I've never done this and I feel really awkward doing it, but I just feel the Lord has told me to encourage each one of you. And he went around to every person and said, I just want to encourage you because, you know, this is the sort of person that I see you, who you are and what you're doing. And God loves that. He even said to a person that he didn't even know, he says, I don't know you, but just by the look of you, I believe, boom, 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 and he encouraged him. You know what? Everyone walked out of that room feeling good. Amen. Feeling inspired, feeling encouraged. You've got another couple, Peter and Joy Taylor, who spend a lot of time with young families, encouraging them, saying, you're doing a really good job. Even sometimes when I wasn't doing a really good job, he would be right behind me going, Gary, you're doing a great job. Encourage one another. Can I have the music team up, please? Just in conclusion. So what are the steps again? Respect them for who they are. Engage their mind and heart. Love them unconditionally. Approach God on their behalf. Take whatever time is necessary and encourage them to relate to others. Now, this is not recipe theology. However, I do believe that if you give these things a go, that you will find all your relationships will be coming together in ways that you've only dreamed of before. Look at this list and check whether or not you're doing these things. If not, why not start today and expect? Expect things to change. The change may not come in them, but it will come in you. As I stated this morning, John 13:34, I give to you a new commandment, to love one another just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. But listen to what it says in verse 35. Everyone will know by this that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I give you a new commandment. This is Jesus speaking. To love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. Everyone will know that you are my disciples. Everyone will know that you are a child of Christ. Everyone will know that you are a Christian. You don't need to stand on the corner and shout, hey, you're going to hell if you don't give your life to Jesus. People will know that you are a Christian by the love you show. You know, I see so many Christians in conflict. And a lot of the times, they don't actually realize that what they're doing. But the enemy does. The enemy hates relationships. I think I've shared with you before, up in Kings Park one night, there was a guy praying against relationships over the city of Perth. He was a witch or a warlock, whatever you call them. The enemy hates relationships. You know, there's times in our marriage when we've had a bit of an argument, and Sally and I will say, you know, let's stop. You aren't my enemy. So then we pray for the enemy to flee. Get out of here, hairy legs. But it's true. If you've got a really, not a really bad, a bad relationship with your spouse or with relatives or with your neighbours or the Christian brother and sister, love them. Yes, it may seem to you in your mind that it's one of the hardest things, or I can't love that person, what they did to me or what they did to so-and-so or anything. No way. I'm not loving. Just imagine if Jesus had that same attitude towards us. Man. We'd be up the creek, wouldn't we? Part of this year, as we get into the Word of God, we've got to understand the Word of God before we can go any further. And part of that is that commandment that Jesus gave us, is love one another, love one another, love one another, love one another. And then people will see Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray now, Lord, for those that are in conflict. I pray, Holy Spirit, just comfort them right now. You know, if you've got if you are in conflict with someone, or that person's in conflict with you, I want you to, let's all stand. Keep your eyes closed. I really believe God's going to do a breakthrough this morning in relationships. He wouldn't have given me this word otherwise, but But I know that there's a lot of people in conflict. And it's like as though I just saw the Holy Spirit drawing a line in the sand and saying, you know, today's a different day. Today's a new day and things are going to change. I'm going to transform this part in your life. And that may be sibling rivalry, or you've had an argument with them, or your neighbour, or a brother and sister in Christ, or a work colleague, or something like that. I'm asking you to come to the front right now, and we're gonna pray as we sing. We're gonna pray for those people, and I want you to pray an almighty blessing on those people. Because as you pray a blessing on someone that you're in conflict with, your heart will soften for them. And as your heart will soften, the relationship that Christ wants you to have with everyone will start to get better. So let's just take a moment. If you are in conflict with anyone, or they're in conflict with you, come forward now and we'll just pray.